Morning. Today's daf is Nun Ches. We're in Nun Zayin at the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Vanlis Echonish Maslib, Gabriela Bashmuel. We are coming out full circle. The beginning of the Masech that we introduced ourselves to an idea. I'm going all the way back to Daf Beis. In the beginning of the Masech, we introduced ourselves to an idea that when a woman gets married, so marriage, as we know, since the beginning of the Masech, we said it comes in two stages. And the first stage is Kiddushin, and the second stage is Nisuin. Kiddushin is when they're married, Nisuin is when they're married. So now that we clarify that, so what's the major difference? The difference is that Kiddushin is formal kinyan. It's an acquisition. I'm not in the business of objectifying the woman, but it's an acquisition. It's a kinyan. And the second stage is where they live together as husband and wife with all obligations towards one another. Husband is obligated to his wife. Wife is obligated to her husband in financial terms. And also they live together. They're intimate with one another during the second stage of Nisuin. And that obligation that obligation is a contractual obligation. It's more or less what we've been talking about now for the last couple of weeks, since already the middle of the fourth parak. We talked about the contractual obligation that a husband has to his wife and the wife towards the husband. And this all begins at the point of Nisuin. So typically back in the good old days, so there was a 1 year break between the Erusin and the Nisuin. And if you remember, I know it's a long time ago, but if you remember the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, so we quoted a Mishnah. And the Mishnah had a discussion, what if the 1 year comes around, and for various reasons, both his fault or her fault or no one's fault, for various reasons, they don't actually get married. So is he contractually obligated, is he financially obligated to her, even though they didn't go through the chuppah, and they didn't go to Nisuin? That was the discussion we had, and that was based on the Mishnah, and here's the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Zayin Amud Aleph, as we're about to start, is going to be discussing this very issue. So the Mishnah starts off, Nosan Lebesul Shnemetzar Chodesh, Mishir Tava Habala Farnesis Atzma. Sorry. Mishir Tava. So the Besul is given 12 months. From the point of Sviya, meaning that he makes a proposition. Proposition's marriage, and it's more than just a proposition. Meaning they went through kiddushin. So she's given a 12-month period. So the take a look at Rashi over here. So Rashi says, what does she need 12 months to prepare for? She needs 12 months to get ready for the marriage and to prepare herself. Rashi writes the first Rashi in the Mishnah. Zman lechnisa salachupa miyam shetava habala acher shekidusha. Okay, Rashi says kiddushin has in fact occurred. Lazir alis kechupa lahachin tachshitaha. Okay, to get ready for the wedding and tachshit and her and putting on her makeup. And I know 12 months seems like a long time to put on her makeup, but it shouldn't seem that strange. Remember Miguel's Esther? So every woman who went to, I know it's not the. Not the best place to cite, but it's true. In other words, every woman who went to Achashverosh, so she had a year to prepare herself. So in other words, a woman needs about a year. And Habala Farnes Tzatzma. And not only that, says the Mishnah, but the Mishnah says that the husband also needs to get his act together, meaning that the husband obviously has an obligation now. He's taking upon himself to support his wife. Well, he's got to land a job. So the Mishnah gives him a year as well. So in other words, basically during this year period, everyone's getting ready. She's getting ready. He's getting ready. Good. And the Mishnah says that she gets herself ready. He gets himself ready. Okay. Now, being that this is so, the Mishnah says, what if she's already been married before? So Shloshim Yom. So the Mishnah says that typically, the minhag is for a amana where she doesn't. This is not her first time getting married. So she doesn't need all that preparation time. So a month is going to be sufficient. And I guess the Mishnah doesn't make this point, but I guess we could say it also. Meaning the man who's marrying the amana, right? Now the Mishnah again. The Mishnah doesn't say this, but he also doesn't need the requisite the 12 month. I need to get my act together, and I guess presumably I'm guessing, but I guess presumably the Mishnah's assumption is that the man marrying the almana also is not a young man who doesn't know about life, but in other words, someone who also is can get his act together within the next month. Okay, he gives mavalo nisu. Now here we go. We're going to have two stages of the Mishnah. We're going to call it, and we see the Gemara is going to call it as well. We're going to call it Mishnah Rishona versus Mishnah Achrona. Mishnah Rishona versus Mishnah Achrona. You hear that terminology every now and then. That just simply means that there were basically two opinions. The earlier opinion, that's Mishnah Rishona, and the later opinion, Mishnah Achrona. In other words, there was a change of thinking, and as a result of that, a change of halacha, and you'll see what I mean. So, he gives Mavalo Nisu. So, let's say the time comes around and they don't get married. For various reasons. For an assortment of reasons. Rashi writes over here, Shabbala Ma'akrin Vaidid Tanerisha Bididi Tani Nami Sefa Nami Bididi. Rashi points out, this goes all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta. This was day one when we learned Ksufas together. He called in sick that the morning of the Chuppah. Okay, but in other words, but they should have gotten married that day. So what's the halacha? Ochlos mishalov, ochlos bitruma. So the halacha is, he has to support her. Now, the Mishnah says two statements. Ochlos mishalov, which means he's got a supporter, and the Mishnah goes one step further. Ochlos bitruma. Meaning, if he's a Kohen, and she is, either she's a Bas Kohen or Bas Yisrael, and later this morning, we're going to make some sort of distinction between the two. But in other words, we know the halach is that a woman married to a Kohen is entitled to eat Truma. So therefore, the Mishnah says, Mishnah Rishona says that good. So now the time for them has come to get married. At this point in time, they should be married. He called him sick. Okay, he's got a supporter. And not only does he have to support her, but she's going to eat truma. Rabbi Tafan Amar Nosan La Kol Truma. Now, what exactly is going to be, how much truma she's going to receive? So Rabbi Tafan says, give everything. He can give her only truma, and that would be okay. Now let's think about the opinion of Rabbi Tafan for just a brief moment, and it'll certainly lead us to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Tafan says she's only going to be given truma to eat. For a woman, that's tough. Not tough, impossible, right? A woman who's going through a regular menstrual cycle, so that means that at least a week out of a month, at least, right? And there could be also Yemei Ziva, and there could be also Shem Nekiyim, but at least a week during the month, she's not going to be able to eat that truma. She's in a state of tumah. She can't eat the truma. So in other words, the husband who has the obligation to support her, the husband who's a Kohen, the husband's going to give her truma. He gives her truma for the whole month, but she can't eat the truma for the whole month. So according to Rabbi Tarfon, what is she going to be doing? For 1 week out of the month, she's going to be unable to eat the truma. She's going to have to go out, and she's going to have to sell that truma. Selling truma, we'll talk more about this later this morning as well. So selling truma is tough. Selling truma is not easy. Because, just think about regular commerce. What happens when they give it away? When they give something away, the market doesn't take well to giving things away, and therefore the price is going to be very low. So she's going to have to try to go out to the market, find a coin, say, look, I have truma, I can't eat it. Would you buy it for me? And so according to Rabbi Tarfon, yes, exactly. Meaning that the husband can satisfy his obligation of parnasa by giving her truma. And yes, that also means that for at least 1 week out of the month, she's going to have to sell it. Rabbi Kiva omer mechza chula mechza truma. Rabbi Kiva says no. When the husband gives her mizonos, so he's going to have to give half and half. Half of it shuman, half of it chulin. And now we understand the opinion behind Rabbi Kiva. What's he being sensitive to? To the idea that for 1 week out of the month, at least for 1 week out of the month, she won't be able to eat the shuma. So basically, according to Rabbi Kiva, what the husband now has to do is feed her so that she won't have to go out and do anything. Meaning he'll provide her 2 weeks worth of shuma, 2 weeks worth of chulin. And okay, so for the month she'll be fine. Ayava min amachla b'tshuma. Ayava min amachla b'tshuma. Now, what if her husband died and now she's a candidate for yibum, right? Died childless, and there's a surviving brother-in-law. So the brother-in-law now has a mitzvah of yibum. She's a shomeris yavam. So ain't a machla b'tshuma. So even though her brother-in-law is a Kohen, you know how these things work out. If her husband's a Kohen, so that means that his brother was a Kohen as well. And remember, Yibum is only when they are paternal brothers. So the brother-in-law is a Kohen. Nevertheless, he can't feed her truma until he actually performs the mitzvah of Yibum and they're married. Also, shisha chalashim ifnei abav, shisha chalashim ifnei ayavam. If, let's say, 6 months before the husband, 6 months before the yavam, meaning that the man was ma'ariser, he did kedushin, And then, unfortunately, 6 months later, he died. She's still a candidate for Yibum. Remember, we learned this back in Yevamos. The mitzvah of Yibum is going to be true whether or not the husband died from Erusin or from Nisuin. So now, 6 months into the Erusin, husband died. And now, 6 months, she's going to be waiting for the Yavam to do something, to do the mitzvah. And the Mishnah says it doesn't matter how you cut up the year. Meaning it could be 1 year minus a day for the husband and then the Yavam. 1 year minus a day for the Yavam, the husband died a day into the Erusin, and then it's a year minus a day for the Yavam. Either way, it doesn't matter how you cut up the year. Eino ocheles b'truma. Under these circumstances, she cannot eat truma. The yavam, just in other words, simply put, the yavam can't feed her truma. Period. Okay. Zu mishnah rishona. Okay. And then the mishnah points out all this is mishnah rishona. Meaning, what's mishnah rishona? The idea that they're not actually married yet. Again, when I say actually married, I mean that they didn't go through the second stage of marriage, nisuin, and they're all still only at the stage of arusa. They haven't gotten to the chuppah yet. But because the time has arrived, because he gives mano, and because he calls in sick and says, I can't be there, so he's going to feed her, he has an obligation to feed her, and according to Mishnah Rishona, he can give her truma, even though they're not married yet. Based in Shalach Reim Amru, and then the later based in says, top of Nazainim and base, Einaisha Ochas B'Shuma, she takanas the chuppah. According to Mishnah Achrona, they made a major shift in thinking, and that is that even though a year has come and gone, and even though he called in sick, and even though he does have an obligation to support her, but he cannot hand her any truma until they entered to the chuppah. Then and only then can he give her truma for reasons which we're going to explain later on.
How long can he call in sick?
I mean, it doesn't matter. Meaning, he'll call him sick as long as he wants. He has an obligation to support her.
It goes by 2 years,
They're married anyway. Meaning, they already went through Erusin. So, what is he gaining by all this? Okay. Okay. How do I know this? Meaning, the Mishnah introduces us to an idea that a woman is going to go a year from the point of Erusin to the point of Nisuin. The Gemara wants to know, do we have a source for that? So Amar Rav Chisa, Amar Krav, Yamar Achiyah, V'yimah Tishiv Anara, Oso Yamim Oasar, Oasur. So you remember Lavan Besuel? Negotiating Rivka heading back with Eliezer to go to Yitzchak. And a suggestion was made, you know what, let's give it some time. Meaning, Rivka's very young. Okay, the various midrashim in terms of what exactly her age was. I know many have it at 3. The Rashi and Chumash has it at 3, but the Torah says Nara, not but, wrong conjunction. But the Torah does say Nara, and there are other midrashim in terms of her exact age. Either way, the point being is that what her brother say? Now let's give her some time. So Teishiv Anara Itano Yamim Oasur. Let her stay with us. Now the word Yamim we're going to translate in just a moment. Asur, that means 10. So what are we talking about? My Yamim Ilametre Yoma. So the Gemara says, well, now if the word Yamim is to be understood to mean a couple days, so Mishtay Inish Achi, that's how people negotiate. Amrule Tre Yome Amrulu Lo, meaning think about how this negotiation went. Lavan says to Eliezer, you know, let her stay here for 2 days. Eliezer says no. So Amrle Asar Yume. So then Lavan says, oh, okay, 2 days no good? Okay, how about 10 days? Meaning that you're negotiating in the wrong direction. That can't be. So Elama Yamim Shana. Okay, so the Gemara says the word Yamim has to mean a year. Okay, we have a pasuk in Chumash in Parshas Bahar that tells us that the word Yamim is actually a reference to a year. Good. So the Gemara says now there's a possibility that the word Yamim also means a month. We do have a pasuk in Parshas Bahar Loscha that describes how Yamim can be connected to a month. So Armi done in Yamim Stam mi Yamim Stam ain't done in Yamim Stam mi Yamim Shenam Rabem Chodesh. Gemara says it's a better similarity to the parsha of Bahar. Meaning, because it says Yamim by itself, as opposed to in Baloscha, it says Yamim Chodesh. Okay, so Yamim means a year. So that gives us the idea that traditionally it was a year between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin. Now, again, it's not. First of all, it's a parsha in Chai Sar, it's a parsha in Breishis, so that's not going to really dictate the halacha. It tells us an episode, but that's not going to dictate the halacha. And on top of that, we can also point out that there was another option, which is 10 months, meaning a year or 10 months. So, but still, you get the sense that a year was the normal time that was taken to separate between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin. I'm Rabbi Zera Tana Kitana Beini Ubein Avi Yechon La'akev. When it comes to a Kitana, meaning she is betrothed as a Kitana, so both her and her father could be Ma'akev. Ma'akev meaning that they don't have to go to Nisuin until she becomes a Gedola. So she becomes an adult. Now, Bishlamei Matzim Akva. So the Gemara says, "Look, I understand the Katana, meaning from the Katana's perspective, she's really young, and understandably, she could say, look, right, father has a right to be Mekadosher. Fine, that's invested to the father by the Torah. That's fine. But at the same time, however, Kiddushin doesn't change her life. She's still living at home. She's still living with her parents. How about moving on to now living with her husband?" So she could say to her father, you know what, let's wait till I grow up. So the Gemara says, now, the father can be ma'akev, what's that all about? Meaning, why would the father protest? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why the father would protest. The Gemara says, the father could have a self-interest involved in telling his young daughter, look, don't go to Nisuin yet, stay a little bit longer, because the Gemara says she's just simply maybe too young to marry. And the Gemara says what's going to end up happening, she'll be Mimrad, she will rebel against her husband, she's just too young, and then she's going to come back to him. So in other words, for the marriage to be a much greater chance of success, so the father will say to his young daughter, look, I don't think you're ready yet, meaning, again, I identified a man for you, I accept a Kiddushin on your behalf, but right now, I just don't think you're ready for Nisuin. The father also can have her wait until she becomes a Gedola. Okay, so that's the Braisa. The Braisa says that when she got married as a Katana, meaning Kiddushin as a Katana, so then either her or her father could basically say, let's wait till I turn a Gedola, and it could obviously be a year later, 2 years later, the father's accepting Kiddushin for her when she's six. I know we don't talk in our, you know, in our society this way, obviously, but in other words, in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, by the way, in the time of the Rishonim, they also married off their daughters. The Tosos, a couple places, describes how they married off their daughters as Ketanim. Meaning, but in those times, so again, the her or the father could simply say, let's wait till she's a Gedola. It could be many years. I'm Rabbi Abba Barlevi, and Poskan al Ketanah la Asiyah kishi Ketanah, Ava Poskan al Ketanah la Asiyah kishi Gedola. The in terms of making arrangements, so you don't make arrangements for her while she's a Ketana, but you can make arrangements for her while she's young to marry her when she's old, to have her marry when she's older. Meaning she's going to get married, and obviously she can't do it until she gets older. So the Gemara says, "Pshita ma'ud etem alecha shema ma'ila pachta mehasha vechalsha." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but that's pretty obvious. Why would we have had any other consideration?" The Gemara says, "Because you talk about marriage when she's very young, it just may put a fear in her, and then she'll have chalishes, and then she'll get weakened." Kamashman, the Gemara says, no. You can discuss marriage even while she's at a very young age. Okay, the Gemara quotes the halacha name of Ravuna. Again, what do we know? Our Mishnah taught us that, generally speaking, there was a year gap between Kiddushin and Nisuin. Traditionally, the Rav Huna tells us halacha. That's true if she accepted kedushin as a nara. If, however, she accepted kedushin as a bogeres, even if she's one day into her bagras, meaning, but she accepted kedushin as a bogeres, so then shloshim yom, then 30 days. So she'll be treated halachically in this regard like an almana. An almana is given 30 days. A bogeres is also given 30 days. Meisve, the Gemara challenges bagra harei ketvua. So the Gemara quotes a brisa. It's a very short brisa, very succinct. If she's bagra, so that is like tviya. Tviya, as we described back in the Mishnah, that's the idea that she accepted kedushin, meaning she was propositioned for marriage and she accepted. So my love kid tvua de besula. So the Gemara, again, the Brisa doesn't say much more than that. So the Gemara is just conjecturing now. Isn't the Brisa, doesn't the Brisa mean that she'll be like a besula, meaning she's given a full year? The Gemara says, lo, kid tvua ka amana. No. It means she's propositioned like an amana. Just like an amana has 30 days, so too the bogar is also 30 days to get married. Yeah.
Is it the benefit of the husband or the wife?
The Mishnah says both.
Because then, is he supposed to support the bogar after 1 month?
No. Oh, is he, in other words, yes. Yes, that's exactly the point.
So that's up to the husband's benefit.
In other words, without Rav Huna, you would have argued very simply that there was always a year, which means that he's not financially on the hook until a year later. Now with Rav Huna, now with Rav Huna, what we're saying is no, 30 days later, he's already obligated to support her. Correct. Tashma, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Bogeru shoshasa shnei masar chodesh, Rav Elazar omer hol v'chai bala b'mezonaseh yafir. A bogeris waiting after having waited 12 months. So Rabbi Eliezer says, because the husband is obligated to support her, so therefore the husband is also afforded the ability, the benefit of annulling her vows. So now it comes out from this brisa. Now the brisa is making a separate point, which is the husband's ability to annul his wife's vows can begin even before the actual nisuin. As long as the 12-month period has elapsed, he can be made for a vows. But parenthetically, it's pretty clear from the brisa. The brisa says that he can annul her vows. Sorry. The brisa says that she waits 12 months, even though she's a bogeris. So once again, the Gemara says, Ema bogeris, u'shishasa shnemasar chodesh. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, we're going to do just a little bit of editing of the brisa. We're going to add a vav, meaning the brisa is dealing with two cases. A bogeris and someone who waited for 12 months. Rabbi Elazar Omer hol v'balachai b'mesunaseh yafir. In both of those cases, since the husband is obligated to support her, so therefore he can annul the vows. Tashma. Once again, we are still trying to defend the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that if she accepted kedushin as a bogeris, she doesn't wait the 12 months as we described in the Mishnah, but rather for her, she's a bogeris, she's older, so to say. I understand, not within our culture, but in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, she's older, so she doesn't need the full year. A month is sufficient. Hama'aris is a basula ben shetava abal ve'ihim akev is ben shetava he uba'al ma'akev. Man is does kedushin with a besula, and let's say the marriage gets delayed for her reason or for his reason. No, it's not shemasa chodesh mishas tviya. So, but nevertheless, you go from the time of kedushin, you count 12 months. Avalom mishas erisin. I'm sorry. Mishas tviya, avalom mishas erisin. Sorry, this brisa separates the tviya and the erisin. This brisa assumes that they don't occur at the same day. Ubagra hare ketvua. And then the brisa says that when she's a bogeris, that's like she's a tvua. Now we saw this brisa earlier, ketzad, but here we get more explication. Bagra yamechad v'nizkacha, let's say she becomes a bogeris, and the very next day she accepts kedushin. No, it's not shemas achorosh, la rusa shloshim yom. So you give her 12 months, and for the Arusa, you give her 30 days. So, Tiyufta de Rav Huna Tiyufta. Fine. So, the Braisa pretty clearly rejects the position of Rav Huna. Again, Rav Huna wanted to make a distinction. Rav Huna wanted to say that a Bogeris is only given 30 days. The Braisa says that's not so. The Braisa says that from the point of Kedushin, even as a Bogeris, she gets a full year. Now, that last part of the Braisa was a little tricky. Ula Arusa Shoshim Yom, what does that mean? Can't mean that Arusa gets 30 days because we know it's not true. So Amar Rav Papa Hachi Kamar Bogeris she'avru ala shnemasar chodesh bebagrus v'nizkacha noslam shloshim yom ka'amana. The Bogeris where 12 months she goes through 12 months as a Bogeris and then she accepts kedushin. So then because she's already gone a year into Bagrus, so therefore Shloshim Yom Kalmana, therefore her kedushin period is only going to be 30 days like an Amana. So it's funny, the end of the Gemara doesn't totally reject Rav Huna. There is an idea that, quote-unquote, older women don't need the full year to get ready for marriage. Older women only need 30 days. But still, the Chiddush of Rav Huna, for the most part, is rejected. Rav Huna says that even one day to Bagrus, that's it, Kiddushin, is only a 30-day period. The Gemara says that's not true. That part of Rav Huna is rejected. Okay. I know a number of people have asked when do things change? Meaning, it's pretty clear from the Mishnah that there was a full year, and maybe you could, as we just learned at the end of the Gemara, for older women, 30-month period, and certainly for an almana, 30-month period gap between kiddushin and nisuin. Nowadays, everything gets conflated, meaning that nowadays there's an engagement, but the engagement is not halachic. In other words, they're not married. They are engaged to be married, meaning they're making plans to get married. Now, but in terms of what we do nowadays at the chasna, so we do both. We do kiddushin, and then a short break, and the break is represented by reading of the ksuva, and then afterwards we do nisuin. So the Mishnah and our discussion is talking about a year gap between the two, and we shrunk it down to about 5 minutes to 10 minutes, depending on however long the person is reading the ksuva. When did that change occur? I don't know. Why did it occur? Once again, just an admission. I don't know. He gives mavlo nisu. Now we're going to go to the Mishnah, and again, our discussion now is going to revolve around a kohen marrying a woman, and when he has to start supporting her, so he gives her truma. Now, typically, what happens is they enter into the second stage of marriage nisuin, and then she moves in with him, and he feeds her truma. Okay. There are two stages of the Mishnah. The first stage of the Mishnah was this point will begin at the 1 year point, regardless of whether they get married or they don't get married. Meaning at the 1 year point, the moment he is obligated to support her, he gives her truma. And if he calls him sick that morning and he says, look, I can't make it, I'm really sorry. Okay, we're sorry, but you have to support her. And included in that also, he gives her truma. That's Mishnah Rishona. And then the Mishnah went into a second phase of thinking, and that is no. He shouldn't be giving her truma at that point in time, but only once they go into the chuppah, then and only then he gives her truma. Mind you, even according to Mishnah Achrona, he still has to support her. That's not the issue. The only issue is that he cannot use truma to satisfy his obligation of support. Okay.
How come in the first case we're not worried about her giving truma to her family?
Well, we haven't seen that yet. You know too much information. Okay, it's okay. He gives man v'lo nisu. Amar Ula, Dvar Torah Arus Debas Yisrael Chlos B'Chumah. So now we've seen this before. We've gone through this basic discussion before, but here's the Gemara that discusses it. At what point exactly can a woman start eating Truma Minatara? Answer, Erusin. The moment that Cohen's Mekadosh woman says, Harei Mekadosh Li, and gives her a ring, so at that point in time now, she can eat Truma. Why? The Torah says, Cohen Ki Nek Nefesh Kinyan Kasbo. The Torah describes that when a kohen is kohen nefesh, when he purchases a soul. So we'll see. And we're not making any type of social comparison. Hopefully that's clear. But in other words, from a legal comparison, in other words, he buys an Evikanani can eat truma. He, again, and I'm just using the word here loosely, he buys a woman, meaning his Mekadosh woman, so she can eat truma. So already at the point of Erusin, so she can eat truma. That works min haTorah. V'hai nami kinyan kasbohu. Okay, so when he's mekadosh a woman, so that's kinyan kasbohu. Uma tam amru eino ocheles. So now, again, let's put this under the heading of Ula. This is Ula's opinion. And why is it now that if min haTorah she's allowed to eat truma, so why does the Chachamim put a block in and say she can't eat truma until? So the reason why is shami yimazgalo kos bevesaviyah v'tashka lachiyah lachosa. So Ula says that the Chachamim are concerned. Remember, she's not living with her husband. She's living at home. So she goes and pays her betrothed a visit. So nice to see you. Here, do me a favor, right? I don't want to just let you go. Here's some truma. You're my wife. Eat some truma. She takes home the truma with her. And she goes back to her family. Her family are not kohanim. Look what my Arus gave me. Such a wonderful man. Gave me truma. You want to try some? And she'll share the wealth with her family. So because she's living at home, the Chachamim were concerned for this scenario, and that's why the Chachamim blocked her ability to collect her truma until Nisuin. Now remember, we are now explaining Mishnah Rishona. We'll later on this morning get to Mishnah Achrona. But right now we're explaining Mishnah Rishona. Now Mishnah Rishona taught us that if the year comes around, and even if they don't get married, so he can give her Truma from that point going forward. So now let's think about it. She hasn't moved in with him. She still lives with her family. So they're going to ask a simple question. So why can't she eat Truma? So he gives Mavaloni Tsunami Asam Duchtami Achidla. So the Gemara says he gives man. Once we get to the 12 month period, and once it's over, so now he's obligated to support her. As a result of that, what he'll do is he'll designate her a Truma eating room for her. Meaning they're not married, they're not living together, she's still only visiting. But still, at that point in time, because he has an obligation to support her, so he'll set aside a room for her. He's not going to seclude with her, but he'll set aside room for her, and she'll eat Truma in that room. So the Gemara says, really, you're worried about sharing? So the Gemara says, let's think about this. What about a worker? Now we know the halacha is with a worker is that the employer has an obligation to feed him. So the Gemara says, so why are we concerned over here that there's going to be some food sharing? So the Gemara says, really, you can't compare the two. In other words, the employer is not feeding the Kohen who's working. In other words, the Kohen who's working is bringing his own lunch. So there's not going to be that element of food sharing, not like in the construct of a relationship of a husband and wife. A husband is obligated to support his wife and to give food for his wife. So you can't really compare the two types of relationships. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda Omer, Mishum Simpon. We're going to now go over a second reason why it is that an arusa cannot eat truma. Again, mina Torah. An arusa can eat truma. It's king and kaspo is what the requirement is for a woman to eat truma. Mina Torah. The chachamim blocked it. Why did the chachamim block it? So one reason we saw already was Ula. She's going to take the truma home with her, and she's going to share with her family, and they're not kohanim. It's a chi of misa for the family to eat it. That's reason number one. Reason number two, provided by Rav Shmuel, is because of simpon. What does the word simpon mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says the word simpon means that we're worried that the marriage is going to be abrogated. Look at Rashi. Mishum simpon. The word simpon means that the marriage may get annulled, disqualified. Kigon shofar amavat til shtar kari simpon. A receipt is also sometimes in the Gemara referred to as simpon. What does a receipt do? It breaks the loan document. It says the loan document is no longer in force. And what's going to happen? She may have a blemish. One she didn't disclose to her husband. So in other words, he goes over to Wamnah, he gives her the Kiddushin, fine. So now what may end up happening is that a year later they're married, so that first night they're intimate with one another, and he discovers something about her that she didn't tell him. She didn't disclose, a physical blemish. That she didn't tell him about something she should have told him about. What's that going to do? Mekachtos. That's going to retroactively uproot the marriage. And so the Chachamim were concerned that this may in fact happen. And if we would have allowed her to eat Truma this past year, it turns out that retroactively all the Truma that she ate, she had no entitlement to eat because the marriage is going to be undone retroactively. So therefore the Chachamim says, let's wait. Let's wait until the actual Nisuin, and that way we know that the marriage is going to be solidified. The Mishum Snimpon. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Even as she goes into the Chuppah, okay, Chuppah doesn't mean they're intimate yet. Now obviously the Chuppah means they're going to be intimate shortly enough, but that doesn't mean yet. And meanwhile, we know that Nichnas al Chuppah, that once they go into the Chuppah, she can already eat Shum at that point in time. So how's the Mibdak Badikla? So the Gemara says, well, before she goes to the Chuppah, a Badika will be done, some sort of examination. Rashi points out, the relatives are going to do an examination.
What's
the Chazakah on the road? Just give me 1 second. Vahadar Ma'ayel. And then and only then are we going to go into the chuppah. So elamayata evid kohen shalachu miyisrael alecha b'chum reshem simpon. So the Gemara says, okay. So if you're worried about a blemish that's going to undo the whole mekach, the whole acquisition. So the Gemara says, okay. So let's say a kohen buys an evid kanani. Fine. So why aren't you concerned? Meaning, let's say that I know the Torah allows the Evid Kanani to eat Truma, it's king and kasbo, but let's be concerned that maybe, perhaps, the Evid Kanani's got some sort of blemish, only discovered at a later point in time, and it's going to retroactively undo the entire relationship. Meaning, it'll undo the whole Mekach. And therefore, that Evid Kanani turned out to eat Truma that he had no right to eat. Why are we worried over there? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Simpam ba'avadam leka. We're not worried. And I'll tell you why, says the Gemara. De'ida avrai, because look, if the blemish is an external blemish and it's visible even while he's clothed and you can see it, so then hakachazile. The potential owner of the evid will see it. And so, okay. De'ida gavai, and let's say it's an internal blemish. So fine. What's the problem with that? Lamalacha kabai. So the Gemara says, look, he's buying him to work. In other words, the relationship between an owner and an Evid Kanani is that he just wants him to work for him. I don't care that he's got some sort of unsightly blemish. Doesn't matter. That's not what I bought him for. I bought him for him to work. He can work? Great. So in other words, there's no mum that's going to be discovered at a later point in time. And even if there is a mum that's undiscovered, it's not going to affect the relationship, and he won't go and recant on the transaction to begin with. So the Gemara says, now let's think about this for just a moment. You mean to tell me that there's nothing that can be discovered by an Evid Kanani that will undo the original Mekach? Nimsa ganav kav yustas. The Gemara here quotes a Brisa. It's a Tosefta. Let's say after purchasing the Evid Kanani, he learned that the Evid Kanani has a bad gambling problem. Now, first of all, just a couple things. Ganov is a thief, okay, so just to be clear. And Kaviostas, I gave you Tosis's pshat. The Rashi says that he's a Kaviostov is a kidnapper. Tosis is bothered by Rashi's pshat because a kidnapper is not a bad habit. a kidnapper is a very serious... It's not just a petty theft. So correct. So all right. But either way, the point being is you picked up an Evid Kanani. It turns out that he's got a bit of a nasty habit. In other words, he's not a threat. He's not a danger. He's just got a bit of a bad habit. I know kidnapping is funny in this context, but okay. But the point is okay. But that doesn't undo the purchase, as Rashi explains over here. Petty theft, you should expect that. Meaning with Evid Kanani, okay, they're involved in petty theft. Meaning you didn't learn something new. That wasn't the point of discovery. And my ika listim mezuyim o muchtav lamachos. And the Gemara says that and what? And there's going to be a discovery that, oh, you know, I just bought an Evid Kanani, but who knew he's a mass murderer? Or who knew he's on death row? So the Gemara says, Hanukala Islahu. Gemara says that's not that you're not going to discover that. In other words, Kala Islahu, people know that. And you'll never get to a situation where you're going to buy an Evid Kanani and there's going to be something you discovered afterwards. There's not going to be any discovery. Okay, so almost end of the first stage of the discussion. Question on the table. A woman can eat Truma after Erusin. And meanwhile, the Chachamim said, we're going to wait to Nisuin. Why are we going to wait to Nisuin? Now, again, in Mishnah Rishona terminology, we're not really waiting for Nisuin, we're just waiting for the year to go by. Why are we waiting for the year to go by? So again, either A, Ula's reason, because she's going to take the Truma home with her to her family and share with her family, or B, the reason that was provided by Rav Shmuel, is because at the point of Nisuin, there's going to be a blemish, an unsightly blemish that she didn't disclose to him, which is going to unravel the whole marriage all the way from the beginning, and all the Truma that she ate is going to be unrightfully eaten. Okay, those are the two explanations that are given. we are nafgaminas. Good. So two reasons that are given, like we say time and again, to understand the reasons, see if we can find a practical difference between these two reasons. So Bein Lamar, sorry, Amichti. Second line down on Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph. Michti. Bein Lamar lo achla. So, okay, either reason, she's not eating during her Erisin period. So, my Beinayu, the Gemara says, what's an Afkamina? Igamayneu Kiba. So, one Afkamina says the Gemara is the following. Let's say he is Mekadish a woman, and he says, you don't have to disclose anything to me. I'll take you with all your blemishes. So the if that's the deal that he makes in terms of entering this marriage, so then according to Ula, there's still a concern because she's still not living with him. She's still living with her family for that year. So we're still concerned. According to Rav Shmuel, nothing to be concerned about. The only thing we're going to concerned about is a discovery that we make later on. He's saying at the beginning of the Kiddushin, I don't care what I discover, we're going to remain married. So that would be one nafkamina. A second nafkamina, says the Gemara, Masa v'halach. Let's say he hands her over to the shliach habaal, meaning like Rivka. Rivka is like the greatest example. For like, she got handed over to Eliezer. Now, she's not living with the Yitzchak yet. They still have to travel back. But at the point of Mesira, where she's being handed over, so the Gemara says that's going to be another nafkamina. If you're concerned about her sharing the food with her family, she's no longer with her family. Once Rivka and Eliezer start the trek, so that's it. She's not with her family. If, however, the concern is Simpon, where there was a blemish that's going to be discovered, well, that could still be. So the Gemara points out that there are two nafkaminas between these two reasons. Rabbi Tarfon Amar Nosan La Kol Truma. Gemara is going to take us through a quick discussion about how much, what's going to be the ratio that she's going to get. Remember, we're still within the realm of Mishnah Rishona. A year goes by, he calls in sick, they don't go through the Nisuin, he has to support her, and according to Mishnah Rishona, he can even give her Truma. How much Truma does he give her? So we already saw in the Mishnah, Machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon. Amar Abaye. Machlok is Bevas Kohen Lekohen Aval Basi, so Lekohen Devarakol Mechza Chul and Mechza Truma. Abaye says, I'm going to make one our first distinction, and that is, let's say she herself is not a Bas Kohen, she's a Bas Yisrael. She has zero experience regarding eating Truma. Then everyone's in agreement, the ratio that he gives her, mechza u-mechza. Half truma and half chulin. Rashi explains over here, she has no experience with truma. She doesn't know how to go out, how to sell truma to another kohen. That's an unreasonable expectation. So therefore, everyone agrees, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon agree, that if she's a Bas Yisrael, he has to give her a blend of Truma and Chulin.
Why doesn't the husband sell it? If it's his responsibility to feed her and he's giving her something she can't eat, why?
She can. Remember, keep plugging away at this point. This is Mishnah Rishona. She can eat the Truma. She has the ability to eat Truma, according to Mishnah Rishona. So therefore, he's giving her something she can eat. But, okay, fine. The Amar Abaye Machlokes Barusa. And a second point by Abaye, and that is the whole debate over here is Barusa. When they live together as husband and wife, and the husband now has an obligation to feed her, and she's living right there in the house, we're all in agreement, says Abaye. We, meaning Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon, agreement, a blend of Truma and Chulin. Rashi points out over here, when she moves in with her husband, it's totally unreasonable now to say, for the husband to say to her, I know I have to feed you, I'm just giving you truma, and for the time that you can't eat the truma, you're going to go out and sell it. Kol kvod abaz melech pnima, says Rashi, that's simply unreasonable to expect the woman to have to every month go out and sell her truma. So the Gemara says, again, Abaye says that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon would agree in that case. How does Abaye know this information? So, if you're curious, so the Gemara is now going to quote a Bryce, and the Bryce is going to spell it all out. So, it's Tanya Namihachi. The Gemara doesn't tell us that Abaye knew this Bryce, but I think it's fair to speculate that he did, or he had a Kabbalah from one of his Rebbeim. Either way, Rabbi Tarfon Amar Nosan La Kol Truma. Here the Bryce now spells out again. that according to Rabbi Tarfon, the husband gives his wife only truma. Rabbi Kiva Amar Mechza Chulin Mechza Truma, and Rabbi Kiva says no, a blend, half truma, half chulin. Ba'medra Mamor Mebas Kohen LaKohen, and the first point that Abaye made is right here in the Braisa. That's only if she herself is a Bas Kohen, marrying a Kohen. Avabas Yisrael Kohen, Devar Al Kohen Mechza Chulin Mechza Truma. But if she's a Bas Yisrael, so then she gets a blend according to everybody. And again, the reason is because it's she has no experience with eating truma, and it's an unfair expectation for her to go out and start selling truma. She has no idea what she's doing. Ba'medra Mamor and Barusa. And the second distinction in the Braisa, this is only true when she's in Arusa, but when she's married and living with her husband, once again, he supports her with a blend of truma and chulin. Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra Omer, now, the Braisa continues. Now, we kept saying in terms of a blend that it's half and half. The Gemara now is going to deliberate this issue. The Braisa, I should say, is going to deliberate this issue. Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra Omer Nosan Lashta Yadosh Shulchuma V'Achashel Chulin. According to Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra, it's two parts truma to one part chulin. Rav Yehuda Omer Nosan La Kol Truma V'Hi Mocherz V'Lkeches B'Damim Chulin. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that no, he gives her in its entirety truma. She's going to go out. She's going to sell, and then the value, of course, is going to get replaced with chulin. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Kol Makom Sheyizkur Truma Nosan La Kiflayim Bechulin. Anytime it says truma, you give her double that of chulin. My Beinayu, the Gemara just succinctly points out at the end of this Braisa, what's that issue over here? The Gemara says, Ikabenau Tircha. What's the issue over here is Tircha. Again, let's go back to our market discussion. When she's selling Truma, that's a tough sell. Meaning she's trying to sell Truma, and remember, a Kohen can get Truma for free. So imagine marketing now something that people can get for free and trying to sell it to them. That's hard, that's difficult. But understandably though, there's a market. It's not a heavy market, but there's a market. Meaning not every Kohen is going to get Truma at his will. The popular Kohanim are going to get Truma. But you know, those Kohanim are less than popular. So, okay, so they may have to buy it. There is a market, so the question over here, says the Gemara, is how much work are you going to make her go through in terms of selling the truma? If you're expecting her to get a one-to-one ratio, meaning she'll sell the truma and the replacement will be chulin at a one-to-one ratio, that's making her work very hard to sell the truma at value, at chulin value. That's very hard to do. If you're giving her two times the truma to sell off, so basically the assumption, of course, is that she'll sell at a 50% reduction, and it won't be so hard for her to work to sell off the truma in order to get chulin. So the Gemara says that's really what's that issue in these last two opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and the Braisa.
But then she gets less.
And well, I was thinking about that as well. Meaning in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon where it says kiflayim, meaning does it? I'm not sure. I'll just raise the question. Does he mean that you're getting two times more than what she should have gotten of truma, with the expectation that when she sells it off, she'll get half chulin for every truma? Could be that's what he means, but I'm not sure. Hayava meino macha b'truma my time a kinyan kasba merchman of a kinyan da achivu. In terms of the yavam has and does not have the right to give his yavam a truma. Again, once they get married, they're husband and wife. But before that point in time, at the stage of yavam yavama, he can't give a truma because it's not kinyan kaspo. It's kinyan of his brother, but that's not enough. It's got to be kinyan kaspo. Asa shichshech harashim b'fnei abal, hashem b'fnei abal, amart lo b'fnei yavam ibaye. Gemara says, really, it's not much of a chiddush. Meaning, if the husband can't give her truma, so the yavam for sure can't. So the Gemara says, Zuvein tzarech zu lomar zukatani. That is sometimes the style of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah gives you the bigger chiddush, and then the Mishnah sometimes scales back and gives you at that point in time would be an obvious point. It's a style. Zu Mishnah Rishona, v'chulei. And let's finish up now with the following. The Mishnah then goes through a change of thinking, meaning not the Mishnah, but really the Chachamim. Chachmei Yisrael at first said that once a year comes and goes, and they don't get married, he has to support her, and he can give her truma. That's Mishnah Rishona. Mishnah Achrona says no. Wait till the chuppah, before he starts giving her truma. What changed? That's the Gemara's question. My taima. Amar Ula Vitemer Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Mishum Simpon. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what changed. What changed is Simpon. Again, what's going to happen is that he marries her. They're going to be intimate. A blemish that she didn't disclose is discovered, and that's going to undo the entire marriage. So the Gemara says, wait a second, this should all sound very familiar. Meaning, didn't we already have this discussion by Mishnah Rishona? So the Gemara says, exactly. So, Bishlam alo Ula. So the Gemara says, you know, for Ula, this works out all perfectly. Because, Kamaisa Shem Yamazgalo Kos Bevezavia. Ubasraisa Mishim Simpon. According to Ula, I perfectly understand what Mishnah Rishona was thinking, what Mishnah Achrona was thinking. Originally, Chachmei Yisrael thought, you know what? That we say to the Aris, don't give her truma, because she's just going to take it home and she's going to feed it to her family. Okay. After 12 months come and go, and you didn't get married yet, but because you have an obligation to support her, included in that obligation is, you'll give her a room, a truma eating room, and not only do you give her truma, but you give her a place to eat. And so therefore, nope, we're not worried anymore about her going back to her family. Mishnah Achrona comes along, the later Chachmei Yisrael come along and they say, no, we're worried about a different concern. The concern about a blemish that's going to get discovered, and therefore it's going to undo the marriage. And that would be true even after the year. Meaning as long as they haven't entered into the chuppah yet, so then we're concerned. So that's why the Mishnah Achrona changed their position, because they felt that the reason that she can't eat truma is a different reason. Just give me a moment. Ella. Top now of Nun Chesam and Beis. Le Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Kamaisa Mishum Simpon, Vasaisa Mishum Simpon. But according to Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, when he explained Mishnah Rishona, he explained it using the argument of discovery. So what changed? Meaning Mishnah Rishona says, you know what we're worried about? He's going to make a discovery. Mishnah Achrona says, you know what we're worried about? He's going to make a discovery. What? That's the same concern. And so what changed in the thinking where Mishnah Rishona said, you know what, 12 months ago, you have to give her truma. You can give her truma. And then Mishnah Achrona says, no, not until chuppah. What changed according to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel? Answers the Gemara, my benayu, iga benayu, bedikas chutz, marsav bedikas chutz, ma bedika, marsav bedika chutz, lo shma bedika. Gemara says, I'll tell you what changed. Bedikas chutz over here means, it literally means an external examination. It means over here, Shabbat Kabiyad Kravosav. Meaning that after 12 months come and go, so then what's going to happen is that he'll ask one of his relatives, his mother, his sister, to do an examination. Mishnah Rishona thought, good. She passed that examination, so then there's not going to be any discovery. And therefore, after 12 months, he has to feed her and he can give her truma. Mishnah Achrona said, no. Mishnah Achrona says, we're concerned that even if a relative did an examination and she passed that examination, but the husband may discover something that for the mother, for the sister, was not a big deal, and for the husband was a really big deal, and she didn't disclose it, and it's going to uproot the marriage. So it's the change in thinking between Mishnah Achrona is whether or not the examination of the blind family member is going to be sufficient to ensure that the marriage is not going to be undone. At the point of chuppah, the assumption is, the Gemara said earlier this morning, at the point of chuppah, the assumption is that because they're going to chuppah, so the examination will be such that there won't be any discovery. But over here, we're still at the stage of Erisin.
Aren't we also talking about a Yavam?
No, we're not talking about a Yavam. We're only talking about the Aris.
Okay,
fine.